Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we're in Rama 1, Cheltenham. Shout out Jacob Drendel for allowing us to use the gym. We've got a lot of topics to talk about today. So first, we need to talk about the fact that Topuria versus Makhachev will not be happening anymore. Makhachev has moved to welterweight to fight Jack Della Maddalena, and Topuria has moved to lightweight, vacating his title. Both guys have had to vacate their titles to move up in weight class. Topuria has had to vacate the featherweight title, and Makhachev has had to vacate the lightweight title. The reason this is a fucking issue is because John Jones hasn't defended the heavyweight title. He's gone to the second longest heavyweight reign ever with not even defending the belt, just sitting on his ass in fucking Thailand on that motorcycle with that Dagestani. So what we're saying is that Topuria stayed busy, went undefeated in the UFC, beat Volkanovski, the best featherweight to ever live, and Max Holloway, probably the third best featherweight to ever live, arguably back-to-back knocking both of them out. No one had knocked out Max at featherweight, and no one had knocked out Volkanovski at featherweight. Volk was undefeated when he fought him at featherweight too in that division. So what we're saying is that he's done something that's legacy-defining in the span of no time whatsoever. He's only had a couple fights in the UFC, and he's done something that nobody was able to do. Makhachev has had the most amount of title fight wins out of any champion ever at 5 UFC titles at lightweight. And what we're saying is because both of them had to move up in weight, they stripped both of them of their original title, not allowing them to reach double champion status. Now, in my opinion, I think this is completely fucking unacceptable because John Jones, he's not getting stripped and he gets to sit around, do fuck all, whilst Tom Aspinall has to win an interim title and then defend an interim title, being the second fighter ever to defend an interim title behind Barao at bantamweight back in the day. And Ilya and Makhachev have to vacate. In my opinion, if you don't defend the title up against your interim holder and they have to defend the interim belt, I think they should be promoted to undisputed immediately. And I think you should be stripped. So I think they should strip John Jones and have him fight when he's ready to come back instead of holding up the division for years on end, just sitting there doing fuck all and not actually fighting. On the other hand, you've had Makhachev and Topuria fighting, being active the whole time, and those two get stripped when those two are cementing themselves as generational talents. There's exceptions that you need to make for some champions once they're in the bracket of all-time standards of like 30 best fighters of all time. If you're below that type of shit, then I don't care. You can strip him. It's not that big of a deal. But when you're Makhachev and you're beating Charles, Dustin, Volk twice, and Moicano back-to-back, being the most successful lightweight champion to ever live with the most amount of titles in the hardest era to do it, and beating the pound-for-pound number twos, number threes during that reign, and your Volk and your Topuria KOing people that have never been KO'd before, the best champions, the top three best champions in featherweight at Volk and Holloway, you should not be stripping these guys if they go up a weight class. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. It's biased. And it shouldn't be happening. So the fight between Bilal Muhammad and Jack Della Maddalena influenced featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. And I'll tell you why. When Bilal and JDM fought, Makhachev already wanted to move up and Topuria already wanted to move up because JDM and Bilal were at welterweight at 77 kilos. Bilal Muhammad has been training with Islam Makhachev and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Islam said that he didn't want to fight Bilal. So truthfully, Khabib and Islam would have preferred it that Bilal lost to JDM in the welterweight fight so they could move up and fight for the title. This meant that if Bilal were to win, it means that Topuria Makhachev happens because Belal would be champion, Islam wouldn't go up to fight his friend, which I don't even think they're fucking friends. I think Belal just thinks he's friends with him. So Islam wouldn't have moved up to welterweight to go fight Belal. However, what actually happened was JDM went up there, won like four rounds on Belal, which changes fucking everything. So if Belal won, that would mean that Islam Topuria would have happened at lightweight and Belal would have had to fight Shavkat Rakhmonov. But what happened was Jack Della Maddalena beat Belal Muhammad, and therefore Islam now can move up to welterweight. And Topuria is now stuck at lightweight with no champion to fight. And that's why they've vacated Makhachev's title so he can bulk up to the size of welterweight. And in the meantime, Topuria would fight for the lightweight championship up against Charles Oliveira, who's coming off the second win over Michael Chandler. Miss out on Topuria Makhachev, which is the fight to make. That's one of the best fights to make in the current era. Maybe we get to see it in like 2-3 years time when Makhachev moves down in weight. I don't believe Topuria will go all the way up to 170 pounds, 77 kilo, just to fight him. It won't happen. So now that Makhachev has moved up to JDM at welterweight, how does that fight go? And how does Makhachev do at welterweight? Everyone's saying, hey, you know, Makhachev's too small for this, too worried about that. From what I'm seeing, I don't think there's a person at welterweight that has the willpower and the drive to fight at a high pace that Makhachev can with him. Being that the lighter weight classes, each weight class below moving up has statistically had more success moving up than they do if they go down, because smaller man weight class has better skill level. You can't get as many knockouts or submissions, so you have to be good at winning to a decision. So when you go up in weight class, you just automatically are fighting inferior opponents. Just the only thing they have on you is size. So Makhachev versus Jack Della Maddalena. Jack is seeking to avenge Volkanovski's loss to Makhachev. And who's the hard matchup for? Is the hard matchup for Jack Della Maddalena, or is it a hard matchup for Makhachev? Out of everybody at welterweight, probably Jack and Shavkat are probably the two hardest fights for Makhachev at 77, 170 pounds. Because people like Ian Garry, who I saw up against Carlos Prates, barely fucking win. People like Sean Brady, who I saw crack under the pressure of Belal Muhammad, who Jack Della Maddalena just smoked. And Shavkat, who I saw didn't have any work rate up against Ian Garry, who I don't believe will become champion. I think that Makhachev has more drive, more work rate than all of these guys, and better grappling. So you would infer from that, oh, Makhachev's definitely going to win the welterweight belt. He's going to two-time champion, two divisions. But that's not completely true, because the way Jack Della Maddalena is fighting and who he's training with are the same people that Volkanovski trained with Craig Jones and all the counter Dagestani wrestling and jiu-jitsu that they've been working on, which was really effective in the first Volkanovski fight, where Volkanovski was grappling with Makhachev. He had found success. He defended the takedowns and he reversed him in so many different aspects of the fight. Now you're trying to do that up against not somebody who's one weight class above, but two weight classes above, with the same coaches, with relatively the same style, and maybe arguably better boxing. The reason that's important to this fight is that Makhachev, we've seen him struggle in punching exchanges up against Dustin Poirier, where that was a 25-minute fight where Dustin landed heaps of punches on him. Same with Volkanovski in the first fight, where he landed another good boxer who landed heaps of punches on Makhachev. So there's a deficiency in his style, specifically for people who know how to do boxing fundamentals within MMA that can do switch stance, either southpaw into orthodox or orthodox into southpaw. Jack Della Maddalena can box from any stance. He is up there with the best boxers in the UFC behind maybe Ilya Topuria, and maybe even better than someone like a Petr Yan. So is it simple to say that Makhachev can take him down and destroy him? I don't actually think so, because Bilal Muhammad, when he finally started grappling, which was a massive critique of the fight, that everyone said, hey, Bilal needs to grapple him to beat him, which he didn't do. When he started grappling with JDM, it didn't work. JDM has that meme grappling style, which is just stand up. So he just stood up and reversed every single position when he was compromised. Now, you're going to say, hey, but, you know, Makhachev's got the chain wrestling, he's got the judo, and he's got, that Sambo Dagestani chain wrestling. When we saw with the same coaches, Joe Lopez and Craig Jones, for Volkanovski, how he was able to get rid of these chain wrestling exchanges, we saw that he was successful in defending chokes. He was defending submissions. He was reversing, and he got rid of the chain wrestling. The same coaches are teaching somebody who was 11 kilos higher in weight class the same techniques, who could have better boxing, and is younger than Makhachev. The same coaches are teaching a younger, bigger fighter who may be a better boxer the same techniques, which we already have evidence to say with Bilal that he was able to go through. What's to say that JDM doesn't reverse all of Makhachev's takedowns, seeing that he's got the same coaches that were able to do it previously with a smaller guy that didn't have as much strength? What's to say that JDM doesn't reverse all the takedowns and keep it in a boxing, keep it in boxing exchanges where Makhachev has shown deficiency up against somebody who is a fundamental boxer who can do switch stance? What's it to say that Makhachev is going to win that fight? In my opinion, I think JDM will upset Islam Makhachev, and everything's pointing towards Makhachev losing that fight, even if he were to bulk up. I think that he's a better boxer than Dustin Poirier, and maybe might be a better boxer than Volkanovski in terms of damage and strike differential. Volk might have better jabs and crosses and stuff, but JDM's got way more variety, which will cause way more problems for Makhachev. And seeing that he's going up in weight, and that Jack Della Maddalena is younger, I think that Jack's probably gonna win either decision or knock him out with the hands when that fight takes place. I'm going to tell you why Jose Aldo, an absolute legend of the sport, and in my opinion, the second best featherweight to ever live, was scumbagged by the UFC. This is one of the most unacceptable things I've seen in a while. How the fuck are you going to have a fucking champion who was the youngest champion, even younger than John Jones, not the UFC, but counting WEC titles? How are you going to have the youngest champion in the history of MMA have the belt from WEC, winning the title, defending the belts, getting three championships there, then getting promoted to the UFC, where he fought for the belt there and had, I think he had like seven titles in a row, and then he lost it to Max and then re-won the interim belt or something up against Frankie Edgar, some shit like that. That's a guy that has 11 championships. That is an all-time best fighter of the sport, easily top 10 best fighters of all time. I would put him around 7 or 8 best fighters of all time. And you're telling me, instead of allowing him in the latter part of his career fight legends like Dominic Cruz, Henry Cejudo, other legends where we would tune in. Instead, they're using his fucking name to bolster Mario Bautista, who no one gives a shit about. Jonathan Martinez, who no one gives a shit about. And worst of all, Ayman Zahabi, who we don't even know who that is. You're telling me a top 10 fighter of all time who has 11 championships is being used to promote up-and-coming fighters who we don't like, who the fans don't give a shit about, and then he has to retire in the ring saying, I can't do this anymore, I'm 37, been fighting for 15 years. He has to retire now without having these amazing legends fights that he deserves because he's already had a Hall of Fame career. He's already been inducted into the Hall of Fame and they didn't even have a good retirement for him. He just said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. The UFC used Jose Aldo at the end of his career where he could have made more money, where he could have done bigger fights, and they fed him to up-and-comers who still couldn't even fucking beat him, like fucking Jonathan Martinez, who he smashed, like Mario Bautista, who had to hold him up against the fence for 15 minutes, who then became fucking excommunicado for what he did. And now Ayman Zahabi, who we don't even know who Ayman is. Like, I didn't even know that Firas Zahabi had a brother. I'm not even joking. I've been following the sport fuck forever. I didn't even know that Ayman Zahabi is the brother of Firas, and I don't even give a fuck about Ayman Zahabi, and Jose Aldo still proceeded to kick him in the fucking head. How Jose Aldo lost that fight at the end with not knowing that there was 3 minutes to go is fucking outstanding anyway. Jose won round one, maybe round two of that fight. And then round three, Ayman came back to win the fight. Jose is beating these guys up like he fought Mario too when he beat him up a little bit too. No one can strike with this guy. This guy's a fucking legend of the sport. He's out striking people. And instead of allowing him to fight these Hall of Famers, these legends, and to make more money at the end of his career where he's taken so much damage and he's had so many championship fights up against McGregor, fucking Volkanovski, Holloway. He's fought legends like Cub Swanson and Uriah Faber. Instead of allowing him to take on these other dudes, no, we're going to actually just allocate Mario and Jonathan and Ayman to Jose, so we can build their name off him. Fucking unacceptable. Dana has guys that he likes and he doesn't like. In my opinion, I think it's so evident that instead of really showing out that Jose was having his final fights or that he was a legend of the sport, they just kind of chucked him on the card, like whatever. I've never seen the UFC treat a fighter with so much disrespect who literally made the company. He's the first UFC featherweight champion ever, and he has the most title fight wins in that division. He is a generational fighter and generational champion who won the belt when he was like 22 and has been in title fights for 14 years. They've totally fucked over Jose Aldo. They did this with another legend, with Shogun Hua as well, when we saw, I believe it was Ihor Pateria, who's kind of trash, knock him out and then fucking emote him. In my opinion, Jose deserved more, and I think that was a failed, missed opportunity to make something really big of his career, and it's been wasted. Some people were asking me about Dutch kickboxing, Muay Thai, and Japanese kickboxing. And they were like, why is Japanese kickboxing so good? I'm going to say to you, have you ever fucking watched any highlights of Masaki Noiri or Yuki Yoza? They've got a particular style where they'll get you in 50-50 positions. So instead of a switch kick landing with the foot or the shin, they're landing with toes. With some fucking band making noise. So Masaki Noiri, I'll get the fucking highlights up for you right now. He's got the style where he does fucking stab kicks. He puts pressure on you. And as he's putting pressure on you, he doesn't strike with you. He just sits there waiting for you. The particular punch selection and the particular kick selection that Yuki Yoza and Misaki are doing, I think it should be inserted into MMA. The stab kicks that they do, instead of hitting with the foot, instead of hitting with the shin, they're doing low energy output, high damage with these stab toe kicks that I've never seen anyone implement into the UFC. We've seen calf kicks, which is also a really big thing in Japan. We've seen that with Benson Henderson and stuff, and entering the UFC now, everyone knows how to fucking do a calf kick. The Japanese style with these switch stab kicks and these regular power stab kicks, and especially stabbing with the toes, the calf and the lower thigh and the inside of the thigh. I've never seen anyone do that within MMA. And I think that more and more people are getting around it. Really good strikers. I've seen Ben Woolis or whatever the fuck his name is at the PFL. I've seen him training recently doing these stab kicks. Recently, you need to check this guy out, Yuki Yoza. He's the way he's striking and the way he's going about his career right now is one of the most high-level dudes I've ever seen. I can't even fucking explain it. You need to go watch Yuki Yoza. He's tripping people and he's doing fucking spinning sweeps and shit, and he's foot tripping people. Misaki, to prove what I'm saying, Misaki Noiri leaves Japan. Yuki and Misaki have both signed to ONE Championship. Misaki goes to ONE Championship. They put him up against a couple guys. He has a couple shit performances. Then they say, hey, we need you to fight Tawanchai in kickboxing after Tawanchai's just knocked out Superbon. So they put Misaki up against him, and Tawanchai is doing well through the fight. Later into the fight, out of nowhere, Misaki finishes Tawanchai, becoming the interim champion at ONE Championship. I think that this style works, and I think that this old Japanese Kyokushin style, and within MMA and kickboxing, is probably one of the best things I've seen in a while. More people should implement it, and I think we're going to see in the next like 2-5 years, now that it's going viral, more people are talking about it, you're going to see more stab kicks and more variations of stab kicks within MMA. One of the weirdest, craziest stories that have come out in a while is Kyoji Horiguchi's return to the UFC. So Kyoji, out of Japan, was fighting in his 20s in the UFC. He did really well. And I believe he was undefeated, and he fought Demetrius Johnson, who went on his 12 consecutive UFC title reign. During the 12 consecutive UFC title reign that Demetrius Johnson had, Kyoji, at the age of like 22 or 24 or something, fights Demetrius Johnson for the belt. Kyoji leaves the UFC after this in his 20s, and he fights elsewhere. He goes Bellator, he fights in Ryzen, he has varied success. He becomes the Ryzen champion. I believe he won the Bellator belt. He stays in Japan because his karate master, one of the original people that trained him in martial arts, has cancer, and he wants to stay in Japan so he can stay with his instructor. During this time, he's at American Top Team. He's been training this whole time since he was 22. He worked and improved on everybody. Every single person in American Top Team says, dude, Kyoji Horiguchi is like fucking top level. I've heard this from multiple sources. Kyoji Horiguchi is good, right? During this time, he trains up his best friend, Alessandro Pantoja. Pantoja says that he would have never gotten the UFC belt if it wasn't for Kyoji Horiguchi's being his training partner, because he was that fucking high level. So now Alessandro is like 35. He's won titles up against Moreno, Brandon Royval, defended against Kai Asakura. He's fought all these guys, and he's cementing himself, and Steve Ursaic, he's cementing himself as one of the best flyweights ever underneath Demetrius Johnson. And he says that he would fight his best friend, Kyoji Horiguchi, who put him in the position to win the belt originally. So now Kyoji, after all this time, announces, Kyoji says, I am coming back to the UFC. I'm like, I'm fucking all for it. A second run at the UFC at the same age bracket as the current champion, and the first fighter they put him up against is Tagir Ulumbekov, which is taking place soon. I believe Kyoji will make a run for the title, and I think that we're going to see that Pantoja fight. Kyoji has fought up against bantamweights where the weight was too big for him. People like Patchy Mix, who's now fighting Mario Bautista. He fought Patchy Mix, he lost to him. That's a division above. When he's at his weight class where he belongs, flyweight, he's the fastest, most explosive, technical fighter you've ever seen. He can wrestle, he can do jiu-jitsu, he can strike, he's powerful, he's quick. I think when he fights Khabib Nurmagomedov's pupil, Tagir Ulumbekov, I think Kyoji will wipe the floor with Tagir. I don't think Tagir is that good. I think he'll finish Tagir maybe by knockout. And then he will make a run for the title at flyweight. Flyweight is a really weird weight class, usually favoring the younger guys for speed and explosiveness and stuff. Kyoji is just one of those guys who's just genetically gifted. And he's really fucking technical. So I think that Kyoji is going to beat Tagir. He's going to fight a couple dudes. They might even put him up against Kai Asakura again. What I see happening is he's probably going to fight Tagir Ulumbekov. Tagir is not the same level as your Makachev, Khabib, Umar Nurmagomedov, all the other guys in that camp. I think that he'll beat Tagir. And then I see them booking the trilogy. So I was right. Kyoji Horiguchi has fought Kai Asakura in Ryzen. He lost the first one to Kai by knockout, and then he came back and he knocked Kai out. Since then, Kai went on and fought for the UFC title in his debut up against Alessandro Pantoja, where Pantoja beat him. As you know, Pantoja has already voiced his appreciation for Kyoji, saying that he wants to fight him and that he's able to fight him to his friend, because the only reason that he got the belt was because of Kyoji. Kyoji's come back, said, hey, this is my second run in the UFC. I don't want to do anything except fight for titles. He said, I am completely down and able and willing to fight my friend Alessandro Pantoja. Both guys who are training partners in the same division from the same camp are choosing to fight each other in a UFC title fight. I believe that it could happen. I think it will happen. Maybe he might need another win, or the UFC, just based off name value and legacy and the fact that he's been around in the sport for over 14, 15 years, and this is his second run in the UFC. After he's got like 34 wins. He's finished heaps of people. I think that with everything going towards him, and the fact that Alessandro might even call for the fight, and the fact that Alessandro is so active, I think that all Kyoji has to do is get 2 to 3 wins. They'll put him up against Alessandro, and we'll see one of the weirdest title fights that we've ever seen, knowing that both guys have been training partners, and now they're going to have a UFC title fight. I think Kyoji Horiguchi's second entrance into the UFC, I think it's one of the most underappreciated, underrated returns out of any fighter. And if they signed him and he had never fought in the UFC, I would still want to see it. And I would still have faith in him. I think that the fact that he's even fought for a UFC title when he was fucking in his infancy of his career, and now coming back for the title in his second run, I think this is one of the most exciting things that has happened in the sport, and I want to see Alessandro Pantoja versus Kyoji Horiguchi. That's all we have time for. Shout out Jacob Drendel, Rama One, for allowing us to use his gym. Follow Anything Combat and become a combatant.